Yes, I am Yolanda, and thank you, Reverend Millie, Mother Millie, for this time. I've spoken here, this is my third time here, so I guess the last two times weren't too bad. And she's asked me to talk about my God story, but let me tell you how I got to come to this church first. In 1984, I first came into the Forum, and it was a hot August night, and everyone was standing outside because the church doors were closed, and it had already gone past 6:30, and there was about 10 or 12 of us standing outside. And then Millie opens the door, and she goes, "Oh, you're all here!" And then we all started walking in, and she holds my hand. This is my first intro to Millie, and she starts holding the hand stuff. And before she said anything, I slipped my hand out. And I came in, and I sat down, and I said, "Oh, yeah, okay, I know that, yeah, okay, that feels right, all right." And I walked away. And I didn't come back for a while. And so from 84 to about 87, I was in and out of these doors. And then around 90, I started coming pretty regularly. And in 92, I joined one of Millie's classes, where we study the Bible and spirituality, where we get in touch with our angels and our spirit guides and those that have crossed over. So in 1994, I had a terrible accident. Now, I had already been testing the things that I was learning and hearing in Millie's class to be true, not just by running it through myself, but by actually asking Spirit for answers. And at this time in June, it was hot also, in 94, I burned my face, all this portion of my face. It was really bad. It was second and third degree burns. And when I burned it, because it was through a hot potpourri that had accumulated carbon and went up into the smoke detector and started whack, 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 and I was in a twilight of sleep. Shook me up, and I jumped up and I ran out there and I tried to knock the fire alarm off, and then I realized that the potpourri thing was on. So I ran to that and I picked it up with this hand, and it was hot. So I put it in this hand. It was still really hot. And then I dropped it. And upon dropping it, it splashed up and went wham, right on my face. And I didn't realize it at first. My mouth was open because I was in shock. So it went in my mouth and just all over the place. And then it started to burn. It's like, oh, and I run into the bathroom, get a clean washcloth, put cold water on it, looked in the mirror, and erased my face. The skin, everything came off in the washcloth. And then pretty soon I start jumping up and down because I realized that my shoulder was burning too. So I took off the nightgown, and this was all burnt, and my hands were burnt. And I knew at that moment that stuff went on me and I was burning, I knew at that second that I wasn't going to die, but that my life would never be the same again. I got on the phone and I called a dear friend of mine, and I said, "Guess what I did?" And now my eyes shut closed because it went into my hair, my eyes, my mouth, my lips. And he gave me a phone number to urgent care, so I called urgent care, and they said, I asked them, "Is there some place that I can go, a pharmacy, a little something, I can buy some ointment for this?" I said, it's really hurting. They said, "Lady, you need to get into the hospital right away. Right now, you're in emergency." Oh, okay. So I get into my car, I'm with one eye, my mouth webbing now, and I'm like this, and I'm driving to emergency. When I get to emergency, they already knew I was coming. They had a gurney ready, and they see me walk in, and they saw me, and they come running out. They couldn't believe I drove myself. I was a dodo bird, but then they were convinced that I was. But that was another problem. They raced me into the emergency. They hooked me up with IVs. They start looking at my face, and they're doing that. You know, you hate when you hear that sound. I mean, ka-ching is one sound, but it's not a good one. And they were talking plastic surgery. They gave me a little bit of morphine for the pain. I started shaking. It was really horrible. They were convinced that I wasn't able to see out of this eye. They kept shooting some blue stuff into my eye. And I was in so much pain that I went into prayer. I just started praying to either handle the pain or subside the pain. And as my eyes were closed, I started to go into a twilight. And in that twilight, with my eyes closed, I had a presence, and it was my spiritual advisor. He was a Chihuahuan Indian, and I could tell because he had held my hand many times. And he came and he held my hand, but I didn't move. I just knew it was him. There was no resistance to the feeling. And as I laid there, I was still in pain and I was still shaking. Then it changed. Then I was holding the hand of Jesus Christ. There was no more pain. I wasn't shaking anymore. I can't tell you if I was there 10 minutes, an hour, or 6 hours, or how long, but during that time, there was no pain, and I could feel the presence. And as time was passing, and I had no recollection of time, I jumped, and one of the bandages came off the eye, and I looked, and of course, I didn't see anyone, but I knew it was there. So they come rushing back in, and they're looking, and they're shooting my eyes again, and they're talking about the burn center, and they bring in the gurney, and they put me on the gurney, and they put me in an ambulance, and they shoot me all the way to the burn center. Special UCSD burn center. And I'm in there, and they're taking Polaroid pictures, and I always wanted to have my picture taken and sign autographs, but not like this. You know, this was not the answer. And they're just taking Polaroids and have me sign this paper and that paper, and I'm signing with one eye. And I could hear the nurses talking. They said, well, did you call Dr. Plastic Surgery? Yes, we've called him, and I'm on his machine. And did you call Dr. Immediate right now? And they said, oh, yes, we did, and he's on his way. Yes, well, somebody has to look at her immediately. So they gave me more medicine. I still hadn't seen what they were looking at yet. So they all come in, and they all see it, and they're all like, yep, plastic surgery. You could see the bone. I hadn't seen it, but they're looking at it, the bone, and it was hollowed out in here some, and it was burning here, and then it got less as it went down. So, and my mouth, the lip was burnt off. So they just kept on with me, and I kept insisting, well, I want to see. Please. They said, well, you can't see right now. You probably can't even see out of your left eye that it was damaged. They were certain it was damaged. And I kept saying, well, I like to see, please. May I see? So finally, a kind nurse with no face comes in and she gives me a mirror. She had been burned very severely. And she had two little slits for eyes and two little holes for nose and a little hole for a mouth, but she had no features. She gives me a mirror and I look and I was like, oh, my mother's not going to like this. I'm in trouble now. So they bandaged me all up. They kept me for most of the night, and they sent me home in an ambulance. And I thought, whoa, that wasn't too bad. Then I was supposed to come back the next day. Then it was bad. You know those brushes that they groom horses with? They're made of metal. They have like little metal steel things. That's what they used on my face. They started to scrape my face, and that was excruciatingly painful. It was so hard to do that, and they didn't give me any medication for the pain either. They were just scraping and scraping, and I was just like, ooh, it was horrible, horrible. Then I'd have to wear the patches again and a great big hat, and I'd have to stay indoors. Meanwhile, my class that I had joined is praying for me. They're holding prayer circles. It was announced, the congregation is now united in prayer for me. And I'm been made aware that people are praying for me to heal. And I keep going back and they scrape me again. And oh, it's so horrible and it's excruciating. They had to make sure they got all that horrible skin off of there before plastic surgery. And then about 4 weeks into it or so, I go again. And I'm sitting on the gurney waiting for my next scrape job. And I look across the way, the hall, and there was a woman sitting over there and a little girl holding on to her leg. She's sitting on a gurney too. And she's sobbing and sobbing, and she had been burned from here down, and it was all red like scalding water or something. And she's just sobbing away, and I'm looking at her, and she looks up and she goes, oh! And I thought, well, okay. So I I'm a done deal, and I knew it. So I looked at her, and I smiled with the side of my face that could go up, and I winked at her with the good eye. And at that moment, the door started to close, my door. It started to close, and it closed. Now I'm sitting there all by myself, and I'm looking around, and there's a plastic bottle of I don't know what sitting on the counter. And the counters were the stainless steel. In burn units, there's a lot of stainless steel. There's hardly anything else there. And I started praying once again, oh, please, please don't let me be scraped again today. Today, I know I can't take the scraping today. It really hurts, and they don't give me nothing. And I looked over to where that plastic bottle was on top of that steel counter, and it began to move. It was moving across the counter. And then my human side says, well, there must be a little water underneath there, or we must have had an earthquake. We must have this or that. But that wasn't it at all. My prayers were heard, and they were being answered. And that was an indication. When all the doctors came rushing in to see me again, they were astounded at how well I was recovering. Then they brought in the cameras again, all over the place. They couldn't get over how fast I was recovering. No plastic surgery, one says. I didn't have to be scraped that day. I was so grateful, but it comes to note that the power of prayer, particularly so when it is united, it is intensified. It really is intensified. Some of those disasters that we've had and all of this, it really brings people together, and it really brings prayer to the forefront. You know, I'm really grateful for this. I really am. I'm not saying that you have to go out and get burned to understand what spirituality is or the desire of its growth. But I do know that there are some that says, okay, well, she's all healed now, but, you know, I lost my dog last week and he was hit by a car. Or a man might say, I lost my job and I got my family to take care of. Or a couple may say, we have a teenager and he's running amok. Where's the prayer there? You're all healed. You know, you look good, you're cool. God answered you, but what about me? Gotcha. Okay. Now I had to look in here, see, because all the answers are in here. And over here in Galatians, if I can see it, it states, we don't have that little light here anymore. Be persevering in prayer, remaining awake in it. Now I can see it. Thank you, sir. Be persevering in prayer, remaining awake in it with thanksgiving. Be persevering in prayer, because your prayers are heard and they are answered. And then it's like, yeah, but you got healed and I've been sick for a long time. How come I'm not healing? Over here in James 5:16, it says, pray for one another. Pray for one another that you may get healed. Prayer is such a powerful thing. Of course, these two instances were taken from people of a different time with their own situation. But if we stop and think about it, sometimes we think, well, we live in a different time. We have aeroplanes and boats and planes and trains and all this stuff. We can throw in a chicken in a microwave and have it in less than an hour. But, you know, even people in the king's days and the queen's days, they had to wring the neck of the chicken, bring it in, put out pot boiling water, pluck it out, and then it'd take all day to make a meal. And we live faster. Are we any different than the people of the biblical days? We still need air. We still drink water. We still have to have food, and it's probably still chicken. We still need love. We still need touch. Are we really any different? God's word has never changed in all of these decades and years and centuries and thousands of times. God's word has never changed. The power of prayer continues. Be careful what you pray for, because your prayers are answered. Today I pray for more attunement, more wisdom, and much more discernment. And all other things come. Sometimes I get scared, you know, and sometimes I get really nervous, and then I just really have to pray on it. And sometimes I get insecure, because sometimes I think, maybe he won't hear me today. But he's there all the time. He hears you all the time. He hears you now. He hears you forever. And for me, I kept coming back because I wanted to know just a little bit more about God's kingdom here and over there, especially over there. You know how we always want to know the things that we don't know? But heck, I don't even know what question to ask. That's how amazing it is. And for all of that, I say to you, I know that prayer works, and if I ever want to see an incredible feat, and thank you to all for that, I just look in the mirror, and I see the healing power of prayer. Thank you.